Philippians chapter 3, let's stand together. We'll read verses 13 and 14 again tonight. The Bible says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for meeting with us. And I pray that you would work in our lives tonight. I pray that you would take the Bible and the sharp two-edged sword that it is, cut into our lives and cut things out that don't belong there. And Father, stir us up and do in our life what you know each one of us needs tonight. Each one of us is an individual, and you know us as an individual. You know what we need tonight. And I'm confident that you have the ability to give each one of us what we need. And so I just ask you to do that. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray tonight would be the night they decide to receive Him. Just bless the remainder of the service, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight, as you know, I am going to finish the message that I started this morning, Four Things to Remember. And again, that title implies that there's four things that I'm going to give you that I think you should remember. We talked about three of them this morning. You need to remember, we need to remember what God has done for us. I gave you some examples. And as Brother Earl was testifying just a moment ago, and as I look around the room, each one of you have something unique to your life that you could thank God for, that He's done for you, that He hadn't done for anybody else exactly the same way that He's done it for you. And you need to think about that and thank God for that and praise God for that and never forget it. Never take it for granted. Keep it fresh in your mind. I reminded you that you need to remember God's word, that if to have that abundant life, you need to stay in this book. It's amazing to me as I continue to just read the Bible. I'm trying again to make it through the Bible every month this year, and I'm a couple days behind because of the company that we had for the month of June, but I'll make that up this next week. But it's amazing to me as I read the pages and I read it through month by month how alive it is, how the Lord can speak to you from a passage that you've read time and time again, and yet it's brand new. And it's not because I forgot, Sissy, that I read it a month ago, but it's brand new. The Holy Spirit makes it brand new and gives you new truth each time you go through it. And then I ended this morning by reminding you that we ought to remember what other people have done for us. We ought never to forget how we've been blessed by the actions and the kindness of others that God has put into our life. And I tried to point out that the way you remember something is to think about it often, to recall it to mind. And again, if that doesn't come natural for you, like it doesn't come natural for me, then you have to put it in your schedule, and you have to have some time each day where you say, "Hey, this is what I'm going to think about. This is what I'm going to remember." And make you a list, if you have to, of the things that God's done for you. Make you a list of your favorite Bible verses and pull them out and read them. I was talking to the lady I mentioned this morning, Mrs. Gatz, lost her husband just a few months ago and now has lost her mother. And she told me the same thing when I stopped by the funeral home this afternoon that I mentioned to you this morning. She says, every day for the past 60 years, every day, I've either talked to my mother in person or I've called her on the phone. We've been on vacation. She said, I even did it on my honeymoon. When we were gone on our honeymoon, I called my mom and I talked to her for a few minutes. And she says, now I won't be able to do that. She said, it's been 3 days now. I haven't been able to talk to her. But she says, there was a couple Bible verses that have come to my mind that I've remembered that mean a lot to me. The one in Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes until the hills from which cometh my help. And then that verse in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where the Lord promises that every trial He brings in our life, He'll give us the strength to go through it. There's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will, and I can't quote it exactly, but with the test, will give you a way to escape. He'll give you a way to bear it. And she says, I'm claiming those two verses that God's going to be with me in this time. And we ought to have a reservoir of Bible verses that we've memorized and committed to memory, that when things like that happen in our life, we don't have to run to the Bible to find them. We can pull them out of our memory banks and cling to them and use them and let God use them to strengthen us. And so that's how you remember things. You think about it. Like Steve probably could tell you Sarah's phone number because he uses it a lot. I know Adam could tell you Chantel's, even though it's changed a couple different times, because they use it a lot. I mentioned it about a year ago or so when my mom and dad moved. I had their phone number. They lived at the same place ever since I was 2 years old until the time I was about 47. And I had their phone number ingrained in my memory. I could punch it in, and I could dial it without ever looking in a book. And then 3 years ago, they moved. And every time I call my mom and dad, I have to look it up. When I go to call them, I keep dialing the old number, and it's been disconnected. And I don't think you should do that to your 47-year-old son. You ought to stay put so he can remember your phone number. But you remember things by thinking about them often. And so I want to encourage you again. Those three things that we mentioned this morning, you ought to have a time, you ought to set a time to think about them and to remember what God has done for you. You ought to have a time where you study and commit to memory Bible verses so that you can use the Word of God. You ought to have a time where you just sit down and you think about what other people have done for you and how they've blessed you, and in that way, put that in your memory so that you do remember it. So tonight, I'm going to add a fourth point. And before anybody gets happy and starts rejoicing and saying, oh boy, just one point tonight, we're going to be out by 6:45. We'll be able to beat everybody to the Big Boy or Taco Bell before the other churches get out. I want to tell you that I've got 3 points to make this one point tonight. And Adam, I mentioned this morning the sermon we heard yesterday, I said it had 20 points. Well, he corrected me this afternoon. He said, no, Dad, there's only 14 points in that sermon. Eight about what overreacting is, and then 6 how to avoid it. And he was right. So you're not getting 14 points today. You're getting 6. But other people have it worse than you do. Now, I mentioned this morning how powerful memories can be. How a certain memory can come into your mind and cause just your life to be filled with joy as you remember something happy that happened in the past, or sadness. How a memory can trigger sadness and maybe some tears that come to your eyes because you remember something sad that happened. I mentioned that it could trigger joy or it can trigger sorrow, and I mentioned how sad it is. When people, because of a sickness or because their brain just wears out, can't remember. And as I said that, I thought about Martha, who was sitting back there, and her husband Wayne. And just about every week she comes out, she reminds me that he's forgotten something. He's forgotten where they live. He's forgotten who she is. And it's sad when a person, because of sickness like that, can't remember things. Tonight, though, I want to tell you, there are some things that are better off forgotten. There are some things that we should on purpose forget. And so my fourth point tonight is remember to forget. Remember to forget. Going back to the scripture where Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. There are some things that have happened that we ought to just on purpose put out of our mind, not think about them. Now look, if you want to forget something, you do just the opposite of what you do when you want to remember something. If you want to remember something, you think about it, and you bring it to mind often. If you want to forget something, then forget about it. Don't think about it. Don't bring it to mind. Just try to keep it off somewhere, and in that way, try to forget it. Tonight, I want to give you 3 things that we ought to forget. 3 things that we ought to remember to forget. Number one, our past sins and our past failures. The things that we've messed up on in the past. The times that we've disappointed God. The times that we've done things that haven't been pleasing to Him. We ought to forget. We ought to confess them. We ought to get our forgiveness from God, and then we ought to forget them. That's what Paul was saying in this verse of Philippians chapter 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What Paul was saying is, I have chosen to not remember that I was the one standing there when they stoned Stephen. What he's saying is, I have chosen not to remember that I was the one that persecuted the church. What he's saying is, I have chosen not to remember that I had letters in my coat when I was in Damascus, on the road to Damascus, that gave me permission to arrest the Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem and persecute them. And I've often thought about this. I've often thought if Ananias would have been one of the people, if Paul would have gotten to Damascus, if Ananias, the one that came to him and laid his hands on him, and God used that to restore his sight, and God used him to give Paul his marching orders to go out to the Gentiles, I wonder if Ananias would have been one of the ones that Paul would have arrested, hauled back to Jerusalem, stood him on trial before the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, and put him to death because of his faith in Christ. And here was one who Paul was going to persecute that God used in his life to commission him, to send him out to do the job that God had prepared. And what Paul is saying is, if I remembered what I did in the past, if I remembered that I was the one who stood there while they stoned Stephen, if I remembered how I persecuted Christians, put them to death for their faith, then I would be so guilt-ridden that I couldn't serve God. And so I'm going to forget those things that are in the past. You see, guilt does that to people. That's what happened to Peter in John chapter 21. You remember? He swore his loyalty to Christ. Jesus said, hey, you're all going to forsake me. And Peter said, not me. I'm going to stand with you to the end. In fact, I am willing to die for you. And Jesus said, no, Peter, before the cock crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, no way. I am going to be loyal. I am going to stick with you. I don't care what happens tonight or tomorrow or the next day. I am going to be at your side. I will not forsake you. Jude, they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Judas came leading that crowd to arrest Jesus. They took him to the priest's house. And I want to turn back to Luke chapter 22 and read just a few verses for you. Luke chapter 22 and verses 54 through 62. Here's what the Bible says. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him and said, thou art also of him. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, in other words, after another hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. In the other Gospels, it said he cursed and says, no, I don't know him. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. He knew what was coming. I mean, Jesus had told him, before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. And yet he did exactly what God told him he was going to do. And in John chapter 21, Peter, who denied Christ, who said, no, I don't know him, we find him fishing. He says, hey, I've cursed God. I've denied the Savior. I have no right to be a disciple. I'm not fit to serve God in his kingdom. I mean, the very time that Jesus needed me the most, I turned tail. The very time that he needed somebody to stand by him, I was not loyal. And I denied him. I don't deserve to be a disciple. I don't deserve to be used in the kingdom of God. I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing before he called me. I'm going to go back and pick up my occupation, the thing that I was doing before he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I can't be a fisher of men. I denied the Savior. I turned my back on him when he needed me the most. And you read in John chapter 21, and there were six other disciples that said the same thing. Well, we're going with you because we all fled from the Garden of Gethsemane. We didn't stand by him either. And seven of the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee that night. And what they were saying is, hey, I can't be in this ministry. I can't continue to represent Christ. I'm not worthy anymore because of the sin that I committed and not standing by him. And it wasn't until Jesus came. And you remember the story? They fished all night and didn't catch a thing. And someone stood on the bank and he said, children, have you any meat? And he said, in other words, have you caught any fishing? And by the way, when you go fishing on Sunday, that's what happens. You don't catch nothing. Says he's going fishing. I thought I'd get that in. But they didn't catch anything. And the one on the bank said, hey, throw your net on the other side. And they threw the net on the other side and hauled up a bunch of fish. And John, who was in the boat with him, said, Peter, that's the Lord. That's Jesus. And Peter jumped in the water and swam to shore, and sure enough, it was him. And the others pulled the fish in, and Jesus said, hey, bring the fish. We'll have some breakfast together. And you remember the story there, how Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, then Jesus said, go out and feed my sheep. Go out and do what I called you to do. He asked him a second time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, then go out and feed my sheep. And the third time, three times, just like Peter denied Christ three times, he asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, then go out and feed my sheep. What Jesus was saying, look, Peter, forget about what happened. Yeah, confess it and get over it. I mean, weep about it and seek God's forgiveness. But once you got God's forgiveness, then forget it. Put it out of your mind. Forget those things which are behind, as Paul said, and press toward the mark. Look, that's why God wants us to forget the sins and the failures we've had in the past. It's not just so that we'll feel good, but so that we can press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ that he set before each one of us. And he doesn't want us to be distracted or detoured or weighed down by sins that we've got his forgiveness for, that he's forgotten, and he says to us, just go ahead and forget them. We sing that little song, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song. And then there's a little chorus, and there's a line that says, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall reign eternally. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E, gone. And we need to quit going out to the deepest part of the sea where God has put our sins. And by the way, that's not just a song. That's a scripture. It's in the Bible. But we need to quit going out to the deepest part of the sea where God's put our sins and dredging them up and remember them. Look, God's forgotten them. Let's forget them. He's put them out of his mind. Let's put them out of our mind. Let's not let the guilt of what's happened in the past slow us down from pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. So just forget it. Remember to forget your past sins and your failures. Number two, remember to forget the sins and the failures of others. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, the Lord said, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. God said, now he said that to us, and we can rejoice in that. He said, I'm not going to remember your sins anymore. And by the way, that person that's sitting next to you, or that person that's sitting across the aisle, I don't remember their sins or iniquities anymore either. We talked about computers this morning. Helen was talking about email. You can take a computer and you can record certain information. And you can put it into memory. I mean, you can make lists of things. And you can put numbers in there. And that list of things, or those numbers, or those pieces of information that you've put into that computer will be in that memory forever. I mean, unless something happens, and unless you have a lightning strike your computer and it blows up, or have a surge of electricity and it catches on fire, or else, you know, your computer catches on fire and burns up, that list of information or that data, whatever you want to call it, will be there forever because it's ingrained in the memory bank of that computer. Anytime you want to, you can hit a button or click your mouse, and the information that you put in that computer will appear on your screen. And you can review it, you can look at it, you can read it, or you can and you can add to it. But there's also a button or a mouse that you can click, and you can erase that file. And it will be erased forever. I mean, it's gone. And I don't know how a computer works. I think it sort of works like our brain works. It stores stuff electronically. And I'm way past what I know, but it stores stuff electronically. And when you push the erase button or click your mouse to say erase, then the computer goes in and erases all those electrons that have stored that information. And you can call Michael Dell, or you can call Bill Gates, the two guys that maybe invented the computer, and say, hey, we'd like you to go into our computer. We've erased this file. We'd like you to get it back. And they couldn't do it. You've erased it. It's gone. And even the ones that made the computer, that know so much about it, they cannot go in and recover that file that you erased. Now what God says is that I've gone into my memory banks and I have erased all your sins. And I've erased all the sins of that person sitting next to you, that person sitting in front of you, that person sitting in back of you. And he says, I will remember no more their sins or their iniquities. And there's no way that you can go to God and say, hey, you're God. Surely you can remember the sin of this person that's sitting next to me. Yeah, I know you said that you forgot it. I know that you said that you erased it. But you're God. Surely you can remember it. And he'd have to say, no, I'm sorry. I don't remember. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, oh, that's God just saying that. He's got it tucked away somewhere in the back of his mind. No, he doesn't. He said, I will go in and I will erase all your sins. And when he says, these are the sins under the blood of Christ. And when he says to us in his word, you stand before me just as if you've never sinned. What that means is that God has erased from his memory banks, from the computers of heaven, every sin, every transgression that we've committed. And that he will never, ever remember it again. It's gone. He can't find it. He can't remember it. He has chosen to erase it from the banks of heaven. And he says, I can't remember it. I don't remember it. And if you go to heaven tonight, let me pick on Brother Earl tonight. If you go to heaven tonight and talk to God and say, God, you see Brother Earl Hart down there? You know he's a sinner. Surely you remember the sin that he committed years ago. You know all those sins that he committed. And God would say, just a minute, let me check my books. And he opens up the book to H and he looks for Earl's name. He finds Earl's name. He says, sorry, no sins recorded here. It's a clean page. And you say, let me see that. And you look at the book and you say, well, where's all the sins? I was there. I know he committed those sins. Where are they? And God says, they're gone. There's no sins on his record. He stands before God tonight just as if he never sinned because of what Jesus did for him on Calvary. And every single one of us stand in that same position. We stand justified before God, and he's forgotten our sins. Now, if a holy God in heaven remembers to forget our sins, why can't we be like him and remember to forget the sins of others? If a holy God in heaven has said, I'm not going to remember them anymore, why can't we be like him and say, hey, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm not going to remember their sins either. If a holy God in heaven says, hey, I've forgiven them of all their sins, I've wiped them off their record, why can't we do the same thing? And if a holy God in heaven says, that person stands before me justified, why can't we say the same thing? So tonight, remember to forget. Remember to forget your sins and your failures. Remember to forget other sins and others' failures. And then number three, remember to forget the good things that you've done. Oh, you say, now, just a minute. Stay with me for just a second. I'm almost done. The third thing that we need to remember to forget are the good things that we've done, our past accomplishments. I mean, it's good to praise God for the opportunities that He's given us and for the victories we've seen in the past, but too many Christians live in the past. How many times have you heard a person say, hey, I used to sing in the choir, or I used to teach Sunday school, or I used to work on a bus route, or I used to be a soul winner? And there's too many Christians whose testimony is all in the past tense. And one of the things that we need to remember to forget are the things that we've done in the past. And what we need to ask ourselves is, what am I doing for God today? What am I doing for God now? Dr. Bob Jones Sr., he was a great Methodist preacher. He made this statement. He said, keep your testimony fresh. Keep your testimony fresh. What he was saying is, as you start each day, figure out that day how you can serve Jesus. He made this statement. He said, if today were the whole of your life, if today was the entirety of your life, and you went up and stood before God, would He say, based on today, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. Now, I think that's what we ought to do. When you get up tomorrow morning, you ought to not say, well, I went to church yesterday, I testified for Jesus yesterday, and all that's good. I mean, you ought to remember that. But you ought to ask the question, well, what can I do for Him today? What can I do for my Savior today? How can I serve Jesus today? In Proverbs 27, verse 2, the Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. We need to forget what we've done and not try to praise ourselves for what we've done. Let somebody else praise you for what you did yesterday. You keep asking the question, what can I do today? How can I serve Jesus today? And so remember to forget what's happened in the past. I mean, the sins and your failures, other sins and your failures, even the good things that you've done. And live for today. Press toward the mark. Look, you can't press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus yesterday. Yesterday's gone. And you can't do it tomorrow. Because all we have is a promise for tomorrow. And we don't even have that. God's not promised us tomorrow. We don't know that we're going to have tomorrow. We might have a hope for tomorrow, but we don't have a promise of tomorrow. The only thing we have for sure is right now. And Paul says, hey, I'm going to forget everything that's happened in the past because I want to devote all my energy and all my attention, and I don't want to be distracted in any way. I'm going to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. So we ought to remember what God's done for us. We ought to remember the Bible. We ought to remember what others have done for us. But there's some things we ought not to remember. We need to remember to forget. Remember to forget so that we can press toward that prize that God has before each one of us and accomplish what He wants each one of us to accomplish. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for the simple reminder from Your Word. Thank You for being that kind of God. Thank You for being a God that if we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, Your forgiveness is rich and bountiful because not only do You forgive, but You forget. And You wipe it off our record, never to be remembered. And I pray tonight, if there's a Christian here that has unconfessed sin in their life, that's a barrier between you and them, that tonight, right where they sit, They would claim 1 John 1:9, they'd confess that sin and get everything okay between you and them. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, they can't confess their sin and get it taken care of. They've got to come to the one who died for it. And I pray tonight, if there's just one person here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that right now they'll decide to receive Him and trust what He did on Calvary to pay for their sins. So, Father, You work now. You work in our lives. You take the Bible and You use it as You know needs to be used in our life tonight. Use the invitation. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to somebody about doing something specifically, then I pray they do that tonight. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.